Armstrong!
Jack Armstrong!
Jack Armstrong! The All-American Boy! Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy!
Hey, Pete! I mean to ask you. You going to try out for the school basketball team this year?
I guess I will, Jim. But I don't think I'll make the team. Most of those guys are a lot better than I am.
Yeah, they're good, all right. But listen, I've been putting up a basket in the backboard in our garage. If we start practicing, my basketball season rolls around.
Yeah, maybe so. But how are we going to know if we're practicing the right stuff?
I got that one figured out, too. Take a look at this book here.
Want to be a basketball champion, huh? What's it all about?
Let's take a look inside.
The bounce pass, the baseball pass, the hook pass. The layup shot, one-hand set shot, the pivot shot. Hey, this stuff's all right. Real action picture showing you just how to do all the things the right way. Where'd you get it anyway?
The Wheaties people, Pete. It's part of the Wheaties Library of Sport. And that book there is written by a couple of coaches who really know their basketball.
That's right. Every one of the books in the Wheaties Library of Sports is written for you by some famous athlete or coach. Men and women who are right at the top in the sports world. The book Pete and Jim are talking about is written by Carl Nordley and Dave McMillan, coaches of the Minnesota Gophers. You'll find this book can really help sharpen up your game. Plenty of tips on good passing, shooting, dribbling, and team play, both offensive and defensive. And listen, there's also a book on basketball for all you girls. A big, action-packed 32-page book written especially for girls by Eloise Yeager and Catherine Snell. Easy to get. Just take a good look at the back of your orange and blue Wheaties package. Right there, you'll find a list of the 14 big books in the Wheaties Library of Sport, along with all the dope on how you can get every one of these 14 books for yourself. So, to help get your performance into the champion class, make sure you help yourself to a real athlete's training dish every single morning. Milk, fruit, and Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions. And make sure, too, that you check up on the Wheaties Library of Sports right away. And now, Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. The silencer has been acquitted. Through the efforts of Jack Armstrong and his friends, his true identity has been established after a trial that gathered nationwide attention. And now his real name has completely regained his memory. He's anxious to resume his work where he left off 10 years ago. For Victor Hardy was an inventor and scientist. And now, because he understands the criminal mind, he has dedicated the remainder of his life to the readjustment of criminals and their prevention and correction of crime. In this way, he intends to repay society for those 10 years during which he lived outside the law. Right now, Uncle Jim and Betty are waiting with their new friend in the hotel lobby for Jack. A short while ago, he phoned and said he was bringing someone back with him. He refused to say who it was, and Uncle Jim, Betty, and Vic are naturally very curious about this mysterious person Jack wants them to meet.
Didn't Jack give you any hint who this person is, Uncle Jim?
No, Betty. He just said we were to wait for him here, that he had someone with him he wanted us all to meet.
I'd better run along. It might embarrass Jack to have to introduce me after the notoriety I received at the trial.
No such thing. Your trial is finished. You've been acquitted. Legally and morally, too, you've been cleared of all responsibility of what you did.
But he's right, Vic. Everyone knows you were suffering from amnesia while you committed all those crimes. They're sure you were really a different person. Now that you've regained your memory, the silencer no longer exists. You're Victor Hardy again.
I realize that, Colonel. But I can't help feeling that it might be awkward.
Well, Jack wants you to meet his friend, or he wouldn't have said he wanted all of us to meet him. So I wish he'd hurry.
While Uncle Jim, Betty, and Vic impatiently wait for Jack to return with his mysterious companion, a figure at the other end of the hotel lobby approaches the telephone booth. He looks cautiously about and then enters.
Oh,
Quickly, he dials a number, and crouching into the dark shadows of the booth, he waits.
Hello? This is Duke. I got the job all right. Yeah. They're in and out of here all the time. That's a cinch. Don't worry, I'll take care of my end. Just see that you don't mess things up. Now, look, I'll probably have a report later on. Okay, you be there. And don't forget our deal. $50 for each one. Right? Goodbye.
The man has come out of the phone booth now and is standing there looking around the lobby. He's watching the main entrance. Uh-oh. Suddenly, his eyes narrow. He's staring at some people coming into the lobby off the street. Now he's smiling to himself, a sort of self-satisfied smile. Why, one of the persons he's looking at is Jack Armstrong. Jack doesn't notice the man, however. He's looking for Uncle Jim, Betty, and Vic.
I don't seem to see them. You'd recognize Uncle Jim and Betty if you saw them, wouldn't you, Mickey?
Well, I'm sure I'd know Colonel Fairfield, but it's been so long since I've seen Betty.
Oh, there they are, over on the other side. Come on. I'll bet they'll be surprised to see us. Pardon me, miss.
Oh, yeah, I see him now, Jack. Who's that man with him?
That's Victor Hardy, a friend of ours.
Jack, here we are.
We were beginning to get worried about you, Jack. After your phone, we didn't know what to think.
But here's the surprise I told you about. You remember Mickey Connors, don't you, from Hudson? I should say Sergeant Mickey Connors.
Mickey Connors? Oh, Mickey, it's so good to see you. So this is the person we've been waiting for. Well, Jack was so mysterious over the phone, Mickey. Oh, you don't know how wonderful it is to have you back, isn't it, Uncle Jim?
You bet it is. How are you, Mickey?
Just fine, Colonel Fairfield. Pardon my left hand.
There's no need to apologize.
Well, I guess it's going to take me a little while to get used to doing things with my left hand. I've only been out of the hospital a couple of days. In fact, I haven't even had a chance to buy any civilian clothes yet.
Well, I'd be glad to go shopping with you, Mickey.
Well, thank you, Betty, but he means he'll do his own shopping, and I don't blame him. I'll bet you got some zoot suit all picked out, huh, Mickey?
Nothing as bad as that, Jack.
Hey, here we are gabbing away, and I haven't introduced you to Vic yet. Vic, this is Mickey Connors, a friend of ours from Hudson, our hometown. Mickey, this is Vic Hardy.
I'm glad to know you, Mickey.
Thank you, sir. Where's Billy?
He took Holly and Jimmy to the depot. They're going back to Detroit.
That's quite an assortment of campaign ribbons you have there, son. Pacific Leader, I see.
Yes, sir. I got to see pretty much of the show before this happened.
Well, I guess you're glad to be back.
Yes, and running into Jack and the rest of you like this has made me pretty happy, too. Mickey was one of the best ends Hudson High ever had, Vic. I remember when he was playing his last year as a senior, he was the idol of all us freshmen.
Well, after I graduated from Hudson High, the teams for the next 3 years won all the titles. And if I remember rightly, it was because a boy named Jack Armstrong was a spark plug of those teams.
I imagine you two have a lot to talk over. We were just going in lunch when you called, Jack. Why don't you and Mickey join us?
With all this excitement of running into Mickey, I forgot all about lunch. I'm starved.
Perhaps the waiter's still holding our table in the dining room. If not, he can probably get us another one without too long a wait.
Didn't realize how hungry I was.
Would you like something else, Betty? Maybe glass of milk?
Oh, no, thanks, Uncle Jim. I couldn't eat or drink another thing.
How about you boys? Another piece of pie?
Not for me, Vic. That's all I can eat right now.
Me too, Mr. Hardy.
But let's not leave just yet, though. I love the view through those windows. The skyline, Lake Michigan. Those boats like toys.
That's the yacht club down there, Betty. You should see the lakefront when they have a race. Sails dotting the water as far as you can see.
Well, if Mickey isn't in a hurry, I'd like to sit here for a while and relax, too.
No, I haven't anything special planned for this afternoon, Colonel Fairfield. In fact, I'd like to ask you and Mr. Hardy some questions about an idea I have.
Certainly, Mickey. We can advise you in any way. We'd be glad to.
Well, I've never had any business experience, and now that I'm going back into civilian life, I've been doing a lot of thinking.
Are you planning to go into business, Mickey?
Yes. I'd like to, Mr. Hardy.
Any particular business?
Yes. I was a radio technician in the Army, and I got a lot of good training and experience.
I see.
I've been thinking I'd like to buy a radio store. Nothing too big, of course. Just something to get started in.
I have about $1,000 I've saved for my army pay, and under the GI Bill of Rights, the government will help me.
That's right. I read that the government is giving returning servicemen and women help.
I don't think you should have any trouble, Mickey. With the money you already have and the money you can borrow, you should be able to go into business very easily.
Then you think I'm doing the right thing?
Oh, I don't see anything wrong with your plan, Mickey. Do you, Vic?
Well, my only advice is to be careful. A business venture always has a certain amount of risk attached to it, and, well, as I say, Mickey, be very careful.
You sound as though there was something more to all this than appears on the surface, Vic.
Well, Jack, I don't want to unduly alarm Mickey, but right now, with thousands of veterans going into business every day, a new opportunity has arisen for a certain type of businessman.
What do you mean, Vic?
Racketeers. Out-and-out crooks. I came into contact with them many times.
You mean while you were the silencer?
Yes. They have many ways of fleecing a man who's intending to go into business. They're very clever.
Then what do you advise Mickey to do?
Well, just because there are crooks who would take his money if they could, that shouldn't keep you from carrying out your plans, Mickey. I only say you should be very certain that the business you buy is a good one.
In other words, before you invest your money in the money you borrow, you should be certain you're buying a sound business.
That's it exactly, Colonel. But I didn't mean to worry you, Mickey. I just felt I should tip you off as to what could happen.
I appreciate your advice, Mr. Hardy.
Are you going to buy a radio store in Hudson, Mickey?
No, Jack, New York. I'm going to look around for a radio store somewhere on the east side.
Well, then I'll be seeing you often. I expect to be in New York soon. I'm going to open an office there in a few days.
Are your son Jimmy and your sister Holly going to live in New York with you, Vic?
Yes. They're going to join me in New York next week. I've been in touch with my attorney in Detroit, and he's arranging to close my estate there. I want to bring Jimmy up in a new environment.
Why, he'll love New York.
Well, I guess we'd better be leaving. We've been sitting here over an hour. Waiter, check, please.
Yes, sir. Just clear away these dishes first, if I may. Here, Colonel Fairfield, please, let me pay for the lunch.
Put your wallet away, Mickey. You're our guest today.
Wow, that's a lot of money to be carrying in your wallet, Mickey.
Yeah, all my back pay from the Army. Haven't had a chance to get to a bank.
The idea. I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean to spill the dishes.
Hey, where did my wallet go?
There it is. Oh, goodness, your money's all over the floor.
I'm very sorry, sir. Here, let me get it for you.
Oh, that's a shame.
Okay, here you are, Sergeant.
Oh, thank you.
It's dangerous carrying all that money around, Mickey. You'd better get it in the bank right away.
Oh, I will, as soon as I get to New York.
Did you notice who that waiter was? He's the same man that made that telephone call a while ago. The one who watched Mickey and Jack enter the hotel. I wonder what he's up to. Uh-oh. He's gone out into the lobby again. He's making another telephone call.
Hello? This is Duke. Say, I got one spotted for you. Yeah, I got all the dope. Got a look at his wallet, too. Plenty of dough. Now, listen, his name is Mickey Connors. He'll probably check into the hotel here with his friends for the night. Okay, get to work. That's right. Mickey Connors.
So that waiter has made a report to someone about Jack Armstrong's friend, Mickey Connors. Mickey seems to be a marked man. What sort of trouble would anyone want to make for this G.I. Joe? You'll want to know, and so will I. So be sure, all of you, to listen in tomorrow to the next exciting episode of Jack Armstrong and the Swindle of G.I. Joe. When you pitch into a good, nourishing breakfast every morning, you help yourself start the day in high gear. And when that breakfast includes plenty of milk, fruit, and Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions, you stoke up on the nourishment of three basic foods, real food values to help you breeze through a busy morning. So from now on, treat yourself to a better breakfast. And remember to reach for the Wheaties first.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all of the brand.
This is Franklin Ferguson saying goodbye for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions, who invite you to listen tomorrow to another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
So just buy Wheaties. Wheaties, the best breakfast food in the land.
This is the American Broadcasting Company.